Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you to take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week I meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things. And we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life's challenges. Today I'm speaking to Patricia, who is the programme coordinator at the Centre Arupe in Madagascar, which is a partner of the Jesuit Missions. She's talking to us about caring for creation and how her faith has encouraged her in that, and community action, and her experience of growing up in Madagascar and how the climate crisis has impacted the people living in Madagascar. So, Patricia, tell me about yourself.
Hello, I'm Patricia Tayirinjai. I come from Madagascar. I work at Centre Arupe Madagascar Jesuit Social Center. It was founded in 2005. It's mostly a research and a training center.
And how did you first become interested in caring for the environment?
So I joined the Centre Arupe Madagascar in 2016. I was still working in the financial sector where I had worked for about 15 years. But I was already very involved in volunteer work for the church and for my country. And I first started helping the center to strengthen its structure so that it could better respond to the needs of society and to the mission of its Jesuits. And I began with a financial and operational audit. So step by step, I became more and more interested in this mission of social and environmental justice. I could see the climate change was affecting the society more and more, and I felt I needed to understand it better and do more. And after 5 years of volunteering, I decided to join the Centre Arupe full-time in 2020.
Amazing. So what did you learn from the environmental audit?
So I was asked to do the operational audit of a centre, you know, because it was already clear that some restructuring was needed, and through this work I also saw that the center has strong potential to create positive change in the society, in environmental activities. And I understood that the center was built to respond to the Jesuit mission for social and environmental justice. So the audit helped us see how to improve the structure so that the center could serve better and have more impact.
And how did the work grow from there?
Okay, when I look back, I can say that everything grew little by little, but with good rhythm. Over the time, the work became stronger and more visible. The Jesuits were already well known in Madagascar, especially in education, higher education and evangelization. So I think the Centre Arupe helped bring a stronger social and environmental dimension. And as people faced more climate problems in daily life, our environmental work also became more important and more visible and more concrete.
So tell me about living in Madagascar.
Madagascar is a large island in the Indian Ocean, you know, near the east coast of Africa. And Madagascar is known with its beautiful nature, unique animals and plants, rivers, forests, you know, rich culture with a strong community life. It's a unique country. There are many animals that you can find nowhere else. And I think that for me, it's the best country where I can live. It was growing up within the nature. I could play everywhere I wanted, in the beach, you know, in the hills, everywhere. And I think that gave me the opportunity to be creative and to do many things that actually many children can't do anymore. If I can say about the climate change, you know, a few years ago, we did a study in the capital city and asked people what they knew about the climate change. And only a small percentage said that they knew it well. And even then, the understanding was often limited. But people clearly feel the effects in daily life. So they notice higher temperatures, less rain, air pollution, changing seasons, floods, droughts, and stronger cyclones. These are things people really live through. Madagascar is an island in the Indian Ocean, as cyclones are not new, but now we are facing more intense cyclones, and after each cyclone, it's very hard to recover. Recently, last February, a very intense cyclone passed through the east of Madagascar and caused a lot of damage, even though people were still living strongly with the consequences. And this shows that climate change affects real people and how weak resilience still is.
Is it hard to rebuild life after those cyclones?
One reason is that many people still don't really understand climate change and don't know how to face it. This makes vulnerability even stronger. And another reason is that resilience is still very low. Infrastructure is not adapted at all. Sometimes just a bit of rain that can already cause flooding with water everywhere. And because things continue to get worse, it becomes harder and harder to recover. So poverty also makes people more vulnerable. When people already struggle to meet basic needs, rebuilding becomes much more difficult.
I have never been to Madagascar, so I don't know the impact of the climate on in Madagascar, but I've been both to Sierra Leone and Cambodia and spoken to farmers in particular and seen like the impact of the climate crisis for them. So in this country, in the summer, we have hotter summers and sometimes we have wetter winters, or sometimes we have drier winters, but it's a slight impact of us on the weather. But I remember in my experience in Cambodia, I was seeing farmers who used to have flourishing fields now were having droughts and much drier seasons and much wetter seasons, which meant they weren't able to grow crops in the same way. I imagine that's something that was therefore impacting their income, and therefore they weren't able to make the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to know what they could grow because they didn't know what the climate was going to do to those crops. Is that something similar that happens in Madagascar?
Yeah, yes, of course, because, you know, climate change is not only about statistics. It's our big discussions. It affects real people, real families, and real communities. And exactly in Madagascar, it affects farmers because the majority of people are farmers in Madagascar. So they don't know when the rains will come because it has changed with the effects of climate change. And it affects families whose homes are damaged by cyclones. It affects young people whose future becomes more uncertain. And it affects the poor the most because they have fewer means to cope and to recover. So when you speak about, you know, effects of climate change, we are also speaking about justice, dignity, and human lives. So people are not resilient because they don't have a means to be resilient. So they really need help to be protected and to have more hope and resilience.
What is the help that is needed for countries like Madagascar?
As you know, environmental problems affect daily lives. Helping people, for us, as in the Centre Arupe, we start by teaching people what is climate change, what may be the effects, and then how to adapt and to be resilient facing these environmental challenges. So every action counts because, you know, it can be an individual hand or an organizational help, but everyone can help with daily gesture, helping, supporting projects that can help people to be resilient and to have more hope, or just by praying for them also.
I remember someone saying that prayer is really important. It gets there twice as fast as anything else as well.
Yeah.
What do you feel God has taught you about care for creation?
For me, every action that I want to take towards the environmental protection is a call of God. You know, it's a vocation to respond to the call of God. So for the nature, for the protection, for the reconciliation between nature and human.
So what is something that everyone can do to help?
So as I said, every action counts and each daily gesture matters. So sometimes people think that only big actions are important, but small things also help. Reducing waste, planting trees, avoiding harmful habits, using resources carefully, raising awareness, planting trees, you know. Teaching young people to care for the environment. So small actions may seem simple, but when many people do them, they can create real change.
Mm.
Yeah.
In my previous work, you mentioned planting trees. We had a campaign about planting trees, but we made it really important that you also need to grow them. Mm-hmm. It's not just enough to like plant them. Yes. And they need to be big trees that grow forever. What gives you hope?
People. I think people can give hope because, you know, when there is life, there is hope, and people can really make difference. And I think they are the only one who can make difference for the common home.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what does our common home, as you've just mentioned, mean to you in the everyday?
So at Centre Arupe Madagascar, we use this expression a lot because it helps people understand that climate change concerns all of us and that our actions affect all of us because we live in the same home. So when you speak about your common home, it feels more real than just saying the planet, because planet, earth can feel too big or too far away. But a home is something we know, something we share, and something we must care for together. So for me, it means that caring for the environment is part of caring for life, for others, and for the future.
You're wearing this wonderful T-shirt that mentions Laudato Si on the side of it. What impact has Laudato Si had on you?
So I'm a Laudato Si animator. Centre Arupe Madagascar promotes Laudato Si in Madagascar, and we created the Laudato Si Madagascar movement, which is recognized by the Laudato Si movement worldwide. So my faith has always been linked to love and service, but it was especially through Laudato Si that I understood more deeply the link between my faith and the care for the environment. It helped me see that loving nature and protecting creation are also part of faith. And it helped me understand the idea of ecological conversion. I also felt that other people could take more responsibility if they made the same link between faith and environment. So that is why we helped put in place this network in Madagascar, the Laudato Si movement in Madagascar, and that bring together mostly Catholic actors, such as associations, congregations, parishes,
For people listening who don't know what is Laudato Si, what is Laudato Si?
Yeah, briefly, Laudato Si, that means praise be to you. So praise be to God. This is an encyclical that the Pope Francis wrote for the care for our common home, that means the earth, the planet.
And one of the things I love about Laudato Si is that every encyclical, which is a letter written by the Pope previously, has been written to the Catholics, the faithful, as it's described. But Laudato Si was the first letter that Pope Francis wrote to everybody.
Yes.
Like, it didn't matter if you're Catholic or not, he was writing to everyone to remind everyone of why it's important to care for our common home. So with the people in Madagascar that you're working with, for example, the farmers that you've mentioned, is it quite difficult to help people to understand that climate change is real? And also the impacts on their farms, for example, is because of that. Like, how do you get that message across?
It depends on people. With young people, it's less difficult because they are very open and they really want to take concrete actions. But for example, with farmers, it's mostly difficult, you know, to change habits because we have done things like this and it worked. So we don't want to change. So behavior change is not easy and it can take a very long time.
Mm. Yeah. I was just going to say, I remember that from visiting farms in Cambodia, mm-hmm. that it took a lot of work just to get the first farmer to change. And then that after that season where their crops grew better than it, then took another two families.
Yeah.
And then that was another season.
Yeah.
And then you had a few more families and it changed slowly. It wasn't like everyone was like, great, let's jump in and change now. It took a lot of like going back and forth for it to happen.
Yeah, it's complicated.
You mentioned that young people do seem to be more involved in the conversation. Does that give you hope that they're going to continue the work that you do?
Yeah, the youths, they are the present, you know, the present about caring the environment because they are the ones who are the real agents of change. And they can take actions that can really help. At Centre Europe, we have initiatives like green entrepreneurship. We have Laudato Si animators who take responsibilities in their own communities. So they are the present and they give hope because these are the persons who really care about it. And they are more ecological persons than we were before. So they are the present and also the future.
So what was the moment for you that opened your eyes that made the impact of the climate crisis real for you?
Before, I didn't know that the effects of climate change were so dangerous, you know. So I think it was mostly about the climates. The climates, they changed. It was very difficult to plan and to know which season we are now. And also the intense cyclones, because every year we have cyclone, but it's stronger and stronger. So I was asking myself, but what happened? I think this is something that reminds me, that appalls me, that there is something wrong with the climate. It was about, you know, intense cyclones. It was stronger and stronger, but also in the south where I come from, there is droughts, but also intense droughts, because before there were droughts, but they were not as strong like this. No water. People don't know where they can get water. And even me, when I see that, I don't know how people can continue to live, because with no water, it's like there is no life.
Yeah, water is very much life, isn't it? Like, without it. And I know, like, a couple of years ago, we had concerns in this country about water, which is not a comparison to Madagascar and the issues there. But it was started to make people consider what are the impacts are happening around the world for people in much worse situations with droughts.
Yeah. So,
obviously, I spoke earlier about the weather impacting people in this country. How would you help people in the UK understand the impact of the climate on people in Madagascar?
Yeah, when we explain climate change to people in Madagascar, sometimes they are not really aware about it, because when we explain about the reasons why it's happening. They said that, no, we don't do that. So we couldn't have such effects. But, you know, the effects of climate change is global. So something that you can do in UK can have impacts in Madagascar, you know, very far away. And people in Madagascar, they are less resilient than people in Europe or in other developed countries. So it's important for everyone to take responsibility and to see, okay, I did this. So how can I help someone else who can't be resilient to tackle the climate change effects?
So what things do you wish you knew about caring for creation?
I wish someone had told me what is climate change and what actions in everyday life I would have taken so that I could take care of environment. Because when I teach young people today what is climate change, what are the effects and what actions you can take, I just tell them, you know, I wish someone told me that because I wanted to take more responsibility and to be more responsible than I was before. Yeah. Mm.
So we always end the podcast with the question, what are you grateful for? Because it's to do with the Ignatian spirituality of the Jesuits, to always like end, what are you grateful for? So what are you grateful for?
So I'm grateful for people who support us and who give encouragement and trust. That really matters.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this conversation is going to stay with me because it reminded me about the impact the climate crisis is having on the world's poorest, and also a reminder about how every decision we make here impacts people across the world. How about you? We'd love to know how Patricia's story resonated with you. And why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew how to look at differently? It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this and other themes at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening. I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.